Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Mr. Producer, do we have somebody on line three for me to take here? If so, nobody on line three. All right. Usually, folks, usually we have Evelyn Pyburn here to talk about the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, but I've got it. I can do a little bit of coverage here. Hopefully Evelyn can join us. If not, totally understand. Montana's women's run is just 12 days away in downtown Billings. Registration open until May 10th. There is a report out about federal regulations costing taxpayers trillions of dollars annually. And I think that this is one of those things that we all sort of know, and then you tell Democrats this, and they're just like, yeah, we know, we don't care. But this is actually pretty wild. The average American household pays roughly $16,000 a year in hidden costs. Center Square reports the Competitive Enterprise Institute has released an annual 10,000 Commandments report, which reveals compliance and economic costs of federal regulations exceeding over $2 trillion. The 10,000 Commandments. I love that. I've never heard of that before, but that's exactly what. And actually, 10,000 is actually low. They actually should rename their little group to like 10 billion commandments, which is really what these federal regulations are. All right, now we've got Evelyn on the phones. Evelyn, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. I hear you talking about one of my favorite topics to talk about, regulations.
Yeah, no, can it take, I mean, this, I was just sort of reading this, and I'm just kind of blown away by the numbers here. Why don't you tell us kind of your thoughts on that story?
Well, I have always, or not maybe always, but for a long time, I've always considered regulations as far more onerous than taxes on people, and they don't realize it because, of course, it's buried in the cost of things, and you just don't realize it. But, yes, you were saying that the federal regulations cost taxpayers trillions of dollars annually. The average American household pays $16,000 per year, and the economic costs of regulations exceed $2.1 trillion annually. The Federal Register has 220,813 final rules since they started tabulating them in 1976. And American consumers pay higher prices and suffer job losses because businesses have to pass along those regulatory costs. And the average household, without realizing it, spends more on regulations than they do on health care, food, transportation, apparel, and entertainment combined. In 2024, federal regulatory agencies issued 3,248 final rules, while Congress passed 175 bills, each of which averaged about 19 rules each.
All right, Evelyn, I'm gonna put you on hold here, Evelyn, for a quick profit timeout here. But you know, Evelyn, that number, $2.1 trillion annually, that's the federal deficit. We're borrowing that much every year. That's interesting that the cost of the regulations is almost identical to what our deficit is. Interesting.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Stevie Nicks is hitting the road, announcing a new solo tour. It begins August 12th in Massachusetts, making stops in Minnesota, Ohio, South Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma, and more. Just days before her kickoff performance, Nicks will play MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with Billy Joel. The national tour of the Broadway revival of The Who's Tommy has been delayed by a year. The new launch date for the tour is fall 2026. The Who's Tommy features music and lyrics by Pete Townsend of The Who and a book by Townsend and Des Makanoff, with the two updating their original 1993 Broadway staging that played 900 performances. No reason was given for the delay, and casting has not yet been announced. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
So much for having enough Nintendo Switch 2 consoles ready for pre-orders. Fans complaining of long wait times, error messages, and website problems. Pre-orders through the official Nintendo site have been met with a message saying, due to the very high demand, we will be working diligently to fulfill orders as product becomes available, but delivery by June 5th is not guaranteed. Nintendo had required pre-orders from its shop to be from longtime users of the first Switch with at least 50 gameplay hours and had Nintendo Switch Online with at least 12 months of subscription. Nintendo is also working to find out who was behind a massive leak surrounding its Pokemon franchise. If granted, a subpoena against messaging service Discord would give Nintendo and the Pokemon Company the name, address, phone number, and email address of the user named Game Freakout. The user allegedly posted artwork, source code, and characters, among other things, to the service, which eventually got widely shared on the internet. Brian Holmgren, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We're talking to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, the other comment I was going to have about the story that you've got in the hot sheet this morning about the regulations costing us so much money and costing us even more than taxes, costing us even more than we're spending on things you wouldn't maybe expect, like healthcare or groceries, things like that. But I think the bigger issue with these regulatory costs like this is a lot of times you have the big businesses, the huge, huge multinational corporations. They have enough, they're big enough and they have enough profits that they can actually afford to comply. They can afford to hire full-time regulatory compliance people in their companies, et cetera. It's actually the smaller guys, it's the newer entrants, it's the new businesses that they don't have a huge company. They don't have a ton of profits. They can't afford to pay somebody full-time to just to comply with federal regulations, and I think that also does a lot of damage to our economy.
Oh, definitely. This report said that small companies pay an average of $50,000 per employee in regulatory costs, while larger companies pay $24,800, so just about half as much as small companies. But I recall over the years reading at different times, depending on which regulations were trying to be imposed, I read articles in which they said the regulations which were being pushed through Congress were actually written by attorneys who represented some big corporation or a group of big corporate interests, and they would write these regulations and push to get them passed in order to make it harder for their smaller competitors to survive. And I've read this repeatedly enough times over the years that I believe it's very much true. And sometimes it's just a make work thing, you know. Sometimes a regulation makes a lot of new jobs and contracts for builders, maybe, or someone else, and so it's more of a industry push. But there's just no end. And we're also, by the way, we're just talking about federal regulations. You know, you have another whole layer of state regulations that add more to the costs
and county and city regulations, if you want, depending right. on what county and city.
Oh yes, the zoning and those kinds of regulations are really onerous, and they're being felt, I very much believe, by our housing industry right now. It's one of the biggest reasons that there is a shortage of housing, as these regulations just push the cost out of sight and discourage people to build them in speculating and being able to sell them.
Yeah, and you're right. They take on a life of their own, both within the bureaucracy. So then you may have an entire agency or an entire, you know, employee or branch or just bureaucracy in the government that's set up to sort of enforce some of these regulations. Well, that then becomes an interest group in and of itself. And so, okay, you put this regulation, maybe you needed it. Well, as the world changes and as the industry changes over decades and decades, then maybe a couple decades later, it's like, oh, that old regulation, we don't really need it anymore given the economy or technology or whatever it might be. But now you've got an entire group of state employees in Helena or an entire agency in D.C. or something, and they've got one goal in life, and that's to save their job and save their agency. And so they'll put out studies saying we still need the regulation. And then you'll have multinational corporations that have entire divisions set up to comply with that regulation, and those employees will want to keep their jobs too. And so and this is all sort of just basic organizational theory. Anybody will learn in undergrad at University of Montana. But that's one of the ways these things take on their life of their own, and that's why it's so hard to get rid of them, which is why, frankly, I'm so happy to have somebody like, Trump and Gianforte in the governor in the White House, because I think both of them are trying to cut down on these regulations, but I think it's, they're doing everything they can. It's a lot harder than you think, though.
Yeah, and that one thing I think is really important, while Trump is trying to get these industries to come back to the United States to manufacture and produce. I remember when the industries were picking up and leaving, and there was headlines about why, this company or that company was leaving, and almost always regulations was mentioned. It was a problem, and they couldn't compete in the world markets because they were so burdened with regulations by the U.S. government. And that's the reason they kept giving for leaving, and I think it is crucial for this effort of getting them to come back to eliminate a lot of these regulations.
Well, that, and they're going to need electricity, and I saw some stuff in the news recently about how China is producing massive amounts more electricity than we are. And if we're going to try to be bringing back a lot of these industries, I think you're 100% right. We need to cut the regulations. We need to get rid of the overwhelming power of the unions. We need to have electricity. And, the fact that Democrats don't want us to build natural gas power plants and things like that, or coal power plants, that's a huge issue too. It's a lot of the regulations. It's regulations is why we don't have electricity as well.
And China, by the way, with all their electricity, they're burning coal to get it.
Exactly. Well, Evelyn, that's it for this segment. If you got another second for another segment, that'd be great. If not, thank you for joining us. Folks, check out the Big Sky Business Journal. You can sign up for the hot sheet. Get that just like we did as well. We're going to take an obscene profit timeout. 406-294-0970 is the phone number.
It's April 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Tell a Story Day. It celebrates storytelling of all kinds, fact, fiction, a tall tale, or folklore. Today's the day to tell your favorite story. In 1994, South African citizens of all races are allowed to vote in a general election for the first time. The election was held precisely 44 years after apartheid was formalized by the government with the passing of the Group Areas Act. The world's largest commercial jet, the Airbus A380, takes off for the first time in 2005. Also on this day in 1947, Babe Ruth appears for the second to last time inside the stadium nicknamed the house that Ruth built. The legendary slugger played 22 seasons, smacking a then-record 714 home runs. Born on this day, Samuel Morse, co-inventor of the Morse code and also an American painter. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the State of the Alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, warfighting.
He said the reason It's simple.
If we have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies, especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The U.S. industrial hemp production rose in 2024 with total crop value reaching $445 million. That's a 40% increase over the previous year, according to the latest National Hemp Report. Planted acreage expanded to nearly 45,300 acres, up 64% from 2023, while harvested acreage climbed 60% to just under 32,700 acres. Now, this growth reflects both increased planting and higher yield, which rose from 660 to 1,757 pounds per acre. Floral hemp led the surge, with production more than doubling, a 159% jump year over year. It also accounted for 87% of the total value of hemp growing in the open market. Seed hemp also posted notable gains. Its value rose nearly 500% to just under $17 million, the largest percentage increase among hemp categories. The report signals renewed momentum in the hemp sector following several years of market fluctuation after its legalization under the 2018 Farm Bill. Closer to home, in 2024, Montana experienced a decline in hemp cultivation. The state planted approximately 2,900 acres, a 17.1% decrease from the previous year. However, the harvested area increased to about 2,450 acres, marking a 66.7% rise compared to 2023. I'm Lane Nordlund.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here. If you guys missed it, I had a great conversation with Randy Newberg. Now, Randy Newberg has certainly been critical of Republicans in the past, but the public lands advocate and hunting show host who's based in Bozeman, Montana, is heaping praise on Montana's all-Republican congressional delegation. You got to go check out this conversation. We were talking about this idea with our nation, $36-plus trillion in debt, and Joe Biden handing President Trump a $2 trillion annual deficit. Some have suggested the idea of selling federal lands in order to pay down the debt. We talked with that, talked about that idea with Randy Newberg, and he heaped praise on Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy, Congressman Zinke in particular, but really the whole congressional delegation. You can check out that full audio. Go to MontanaTalks.com. But that gives you, you know, a window of insight into, you know, what some previous critics of Republicans on public lands are now praising Republicans on public lands. So check that one out. Speaking of windows, it's their biggest sale of the year. YHIC, your home improvement company. It's a once-a-year event. They've got an unbeatable deal right now. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of four windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Easy financing as well. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Again, this is their biggest sale of the year, so don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of four windows. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how.
All right, David Noble here back. Had to get that message from Aaron in. Hope you guys enjoyed that. 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. Open phones the rest of the show, folks. No audio clips from me. No scheduled guests that I'm aware of. Just open phones. So 406-294-0970. Donald Trump tweeted out, or rather, I'm sorry, truthed out. And you don't tweet anymore, you post on X. But Trump truthed out, the radical left Democrats are paying a fortune to have people infiltrate the town halls of Republican congressmen and women and senators. These great Patriot politicians should not treat them nicely. Have them immediately ejected from the room. They are disruptors and troublemakers. You must allow your audience to know what you are up against, or else they will think they are Republicans and that there is dissension in the party. There is not. There is only love and unity. Republicans are happy with what is taking place in our country. We all love America.
3 minutes, stations. 3 minutes to your next Fox News 30-30.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. Am I still on the air here or no? Are you sure? Because I thought we had a... Oh, okay, we're not at 7:30. No, I mean, I think this is an interesting post by Trump, because the media narrative is very, very clearly that all the American people are against Trump now, and look at the polling that just came out, and look at the town halls, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, you know, when people are inundated every single day with fake news from the media trashing Trump and tariffs and overplaying the economic downfall and saying the economy is going to crash, and then they look at their 401k and it is down 10% or 15%, and the Democrats are putting out that this is the end of America. I've literally seen stories in the Wall Street Journal saying that this is the end of basically an era, the era of American global economic dominance. I mean, they're acting as if that the world is going to end. And then the polls go down. Oh, wow. Look at this. The American people don't support Trump. No. All of that shows is that the mainstream media still does have some lasting influence, unfortunately. And then Trump is 100% right that all of these little town hall events that the media is pushing, that's got nothing to do with the Republican support of Trump. And here's the deal, folks. Yeah, it does hurt when the stock market goes down 10, 15% and you look at your retirement savings and it's down 10 or 15%. Yeah, that does hurt. But I still support Trump, and I'm sure you do too. And here's the other thing. I don't necessarily – okay. Let's take a step back and let's think about the stock market for a second. Do you all realize that the top three largest shareholders in almost every single company in the S&P 500 is BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard? Look at every stocks, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Those companies are the money managers. They're very mainstream. They're very woke. They're very DEI. They control trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that they can move around in investments. And the idea that they can't control the stock market and they can't manipulate the stock market prices, and the idea that they don't have a bone to pick with Trump, and the idea that they wouldn't influence the market prices to try to impact policy in their favor, is absurd. So let's all just take a step back and let's all just recognize that what's going on in the stock market might not just be just completely 100% organic. I've got something here that could be a number of different things. This could be a regulation update for the Big Sky Business Journal and Evelyn Pyburn. This could be a legislative update for the Montana Family Foundation. Or it could be the great David Noble's woke update of the week. But here's the story, folks. Our wonderful legislature up there in Helena has passed a bill curbing styrofoam as food containers. So if you guys, and by the way, this is not for health reasons, folks. This is not part of MAHA. This is not RFK Jr. This is not Make America Health. This is for the environment. This is like paper straws. America's, Montana is now going down the paper straws and getting rid of styrofoam. Listen to this. House Bill 477 phases out styrofoam. Getting rid of styrofoam, banning styrofoam. That's the Montana we live in. We're like the San Francisco of the Mountain West. Montana is now the woke DEI capital of the Mountain West. We're the abortion capital of the Mountain West. We're the marijuana. Hey, if you want to smoke a bunch of marijuana and get abortions and have paper straws and ban styrofoam, come to Montana, folks. Come to Montana. It's wonderful here. Lots of marijuana, lots of abortions, lots of regulations on our businesses. I find this absolutely revolting that they would do this, because you know what this does? This increases the costs. of food. And, you know, maybe some of these legislators up in Helena, maybe they ought to go visit the Walmart in Great Falls. Go visit the Walmart in Helena. Visit the Walmart in Billings. Don't go to the Walmart in Bozeman or Missoula or anything like that. But why don't you go visit the Walmart in Helena, Great Falls, or Billings, and go take a look at the people of Montana and how bad we're struggling out here. Here we are out here in the heartland struggling day to day just to pay bills, just to afford to put food on the table. And these jerks up in Helena that are, I got another story here where they're all laughing amongst themselves. Oh, well, we got so much money to spend. Oh, well, they're literally laughing and making jokes. And in fact, it was this issue about this out-of-state hunter license fee where it was originally $15 and then it was going to be $100 for an out-of-state hunter license. And then they changed it down to $50 and they're all sort of laughing. Well, we don't need to raise the out-of-state hunter fee to $100 because we got so much money in our budget. And then they're putting on regulations like this to get rid of banned styrofoam for environmental reasons. Meanwhile, none of us can even afford to put food on the table. Now we have to pay extra. We have to go pay extra to get food because your little styrofoam ban. Now I could barely afford to get takeout before. Now it's going to be even more expensive to get takeout. These jerks up in Helena putting these things on there, laughing about how much of our money they have to spend. Meanwhile, we're out here in the heartland and can barely afford to buy food. And they're up there joking and toking up there in Helena, banning styrofoam.
Big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
So while the legislature's up there in Helena spending your money, doing blowout spending, not cutting your taxes in any significant way, unfortunately, and I've got a story to talk about with that too. They're also up there banning styrofoam. They're going to spend a bunch of your money enforcing a ban on styrofoam, which is going to cause increased prices for all of us Montana. It's going to provide next to zero benefit for the environment because guess what? Here in Montana, we know how to take care of our garbage. We don't throw it into the river. We don't just, throw it into the street, throw it on the ground. We have things called landfills that are appropriately handled. Styrofoam is not bad for the environment, and it's not a health concern. Oh my gosh. Okay, and that's not the reason. The health is not the reason the Montana legislature is banning styrofoam in Montana. I can't believe this is what we're talking about in Montana. I feel like I'm in San Francisco. What are they going to do now? Why don't they force us all to have paper straws here in Montana too? Oh my goodness. Now they're talking about, this is what they talk about. They're banning styrofoam. And so now you have to have eco-friendly biodegradable. It's the same thing as plastic straws. And of course, a Billings Republican is the sponsor of the bill, Senator Mike Yakowick. What a gigantic, that just ticks me off to know it. Here's the problem, okay? You might think like, oh, well, they're just banning styrofoam. Like, what's the big deal? We got a lot bigger issues. You know, a lot of us out here are struggling financially. We're struggling with credit card debt. You know, we're stressed out. Every single day we're stressed out because of credit card debt burdening us. You know, oh, what's this? Oh, styrofoam ban? The issue is that it's a bigger issue. And if you don't stand for principle on these sort of smaller issues like that, then you just get ran over on everything else. And if we're at the point where as a state, like that's what we want people in Helena doing is we want people in Helena issuing bans on things they don't like and issuing mandates on things they do. That's a Democrat policy. Is, hey, we don't like this thing, let's ban it. Or, oh, we do like this thing, let's force it. Let's require it. Let's mandate it. I mean, I talk about this all the time. It's very, very easy to be a Democrat. If you like something, it's a mandate. Just force it on everybody. If it's something that you personally like, just do a mandate. And then if it's something that you personally don't like, ban it. Just ban it. I mean, that's basically how you can be a Democrat very easily. Just whatever the issue is, whatever the topic is, if you like it, do a forced legal mandate, and then ban it by law. Do a legal ban on it if you don't like it. It's very simple. Here, I mean, this looks like Republicans kind of doing the Democrats. Hey, we don't like styrofoam. It's not enough. It's not enough for, I guess, Senator Yakowitz to say, hey, you know, I don't like styrofoam, and so I'm just not going to use styrofoam myself. No. He wants to control everybody else. He wants to force all these other businesses to have to pay extra for this eco-friendly, biodegradable food container. And then guess what, folks? The businesses are going to raise your price. So instead of $10 for your takeout food, now it's going to be $12 or $11 or whatever it is. And the problem is that, like, this is emblematic of bigger issues. It's not just, oh, this is one issue. It's whether it's, you know, the seatbelt laws, red light camera laws, whether it's other sort of regulations, overarching, you know, business regulations, whether it's COVID lockdown rules, whether it's any of this stuff. It's like you've got to stand on principle and say no. We got bigger issues. I don't want Helena telling me what I can put my food in or not. And if it's so unhealthy, I think we had a caller that called in and said, no, it is unhealthy to eat out of styrofoam. Well, then don't eat out of it if you think it's unhealthy. I mean, most styrofoam that I've got used usually got a piece of paper underneath the food. It's like you got a styrofoam food container. You throw a piece of paper down. You put your food on the piece of paper. Then everything touches the styrofoam. But again, they're not doing it for health reasons. They're doing it for environmental reasons. It's the same reason they didn't ban plastic straws for health reasons. In fact, I would assume a plastic straw is healthier than a paper straw because you don't end up eating the dang thing. But that's what's going on up there in Helena, and that's kind of like a woke update, a legislative update, and a business regulatory update. All in one. Okay, here's the other thing that really, really bugged me, and that was the Montana legislature passing a law to put Indigenous Peoples Day on Columbus Day. On Columbus Day. And I absolutely went apoplectic about this a week ago or 2 weeks ago when I first heard about it. I sent out a bunch of different tweets, talked about it with Aaron on a Thursday show, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the great thing. Donald Trump posted about Columbus Day over the weekend in a wonderful, wonderful truth post. Donald Trump says, quote, I'm bringing Columbus Day back from the ashes. The Democrats, and in this case in Montana, the Republicans, did everything possible to destroy Christopher Columbus, his reputation, and all of the Italians that love him so much. They tore down his statues and put up nothing but woke or even worse, nothing at all. Well, you'll be happy to know. Christopher is going to make a major comeback. I am hereby reinstating Columbus Day under the same rules, dates, and locations as it has had for all of the many decades before. So again, I just am blown away by this. Here in Montana, in Helena, a bunch of Republicans are attacking Columbus Day and trying to put us on a path to get rid of Columbus Day and putting Indigenous peoples on Columbus Day, which is a part of the overall Democrat plan to attack Chris. And so that's what Montana Republicans are doing. And meanwhile, the president of the United States is actually defending Christopher Columbus against Democrats. I really wish that President Trump would have attacked the Montana Republicans in this thing as well. Because it's not just the Democrats that are attacking Columbus and Christopher Columbus Day. It's Montana Republicans as well. It's every single Republican that voted for that bill to put Indigenous Peoples Day on Columbus Day. And it's Governor Gianforte if he signs that thing. I just found that amazing. And it's not just on this issue either. And this has sort of been a theme. It's been a theme for me over the past couple of weeks. If you guys listen during the 7 o'clock hour on Thursdays, you've heard me say this before, but it's just so weird to be in a situation where the federal government in D.C. is actually governing further to the right than our state government in Helena. Who would have ever anticipated that the White House, the president, the executive branch in Washington, D.C. is governing more conservatively than the Republicans in Helena? I mean, that is almost unheard of. I don't think that's ever been the case Although I suppose if you go back when we had Democrat governors and Republican presidents, you might have found it. But to be here in 2025, when Montana voted by, what, 20 points plus for Trump, and then to see our Republicans here in the legislature go on this attack against Christopher Columbus and go on this eco-friendly, woke DEI styrofoam ban, all this stuff. And then meanwhile, Donald Trump is like, we're bringing back plastic straws. We're bringing back Columbus Day. So apparently the Montana Republicans are now in a direct conflict with Trump. Whether it's the Senator Yakowick, whether it's the Nasty Nine, whether it's any of these other folks out there, the Montana Republicans are governing directly contrary to President Trump when it comes to the styrofoam ban and plastic straws or paper straws. When it comes to Christopher Columbus Day, the Montana Republicans are literally attacking everything that Trump stands for. It's just unbelievable to see. And then you've got, this is another thing. While I'm on a rant here about the legislature, I might as well bring up this one. Major income tax cut heads to the governor's desk, according to Eric Dietrich at Montana Free Press. Guess what, we guys? We had over a $2 billion surplus. Guess how much your tax cut is? Just over $200 million. About 10%? About 10% of the surplus, about that? Yeah. Yeah, this says a major... That's what liberal Montana Free Press says. A major income tax cut that would reduce state revenues by $267 million a year by 2028 cleared the Montana legislature on Tuesday. And now this says HB 337, sponsored by Speaker of the House Brandon Lear, Republican Savage, scales back the state's top bracket tax rate over the next 2 years while extending a lower bracket to higher incomes. Now, I'm all in favor of tax cuts. I support this tax. I'm glad they did it. And in fact, you know, thank you to House Speaker Lear and everybody else that voted for this tax cut. And thank you to Governor Gianforte when he hopefully signs it. But it's not enough. I like it. I'm glad it passed. It's great. But it's not enough. Where's the other $1.7 billion? Where's the other $1.7 billion of my money? Oh, that's right. You're wasting it on styrofoam bands. Oh, my goodness. They just passed some other thing to spend a bunch of money on a study to try to do more buses and public transportation in Montana. That's where the rest of the $1.7 billion is, folks. Not in tax cuts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump has a plan to fight low birth rates and it pays. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Birth rates in the U.S. are trending downward, and the administration is eyeing a possible solution, the baby bonus. The White House is seriously considering an incentive program of $5,000 per delivery to boost declining birth rates. This comes after policy experts and advocates have been meeting with White House aides to conceive, no pun intended, new plans to convince women to pump out more children. Other options could include education programs on fertility or special scholarship considerations for applicants who are married with children. Look, this sounds like a good idea in theory. If financial strain is putting a damper on on growing families, a little monetary aid could go a long way in making it a little easier. However, the notion the government could potentially dole out dollars to folks just for having a baby seems like it could go very wrong and very easily. Money doesn't always translate to good parenting, and a cash for conception plan, well, it seems a little risky. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money, and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organizations lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not...
Clay as your promo code at LifeLock.com. LifeLock. For the threats you can't control, terms apply.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. If you want to call in, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970, get on the show. We were talking a little bit about how this tax cut is going to Governor Gene Forte's desk, but according to Eric Dietrich at the Montana Free Press, this thing only reduces state revenues by $267 million a year when, and I just double-checked this, to Googled it and double-checked this, the state has over a $2 billion budget surplus. They have an extra $2 billion up there in Helena of ours, and they did a tax cut for $267 million. Ooh, $267 million out of $2 billion. Not that much. Where's the rest of my money? That's my question. We had a caller here on Montana Talks when Aaron was hosting the show that I thought made just a fantastic point that I don't think has been getting enough attention and kind of want to highlight it. A lot of this, a lot of the politicians, these legislatures and other people are not being honest with Montanans when they tell you we can do these tax cuts without cutting spending. And I'm particularly talking about property taxes here, because I think they can. I think the state, the state has enough of a blowout budget surplus that they can blow out the spending and increase spending 20% like they're going to apparently try to do, and also do a tax cut, because when you only tax cut $260 million and you got over $2 billion, that gives you $1.7 billion of blowout spending you can do, which apparently they're going to do, and all sorts of terrible ideas. They're creating like a $300 million just slush fund just for whatever. Here's another, some dumb idea that they're wasting money on, too. They are doing a public transportation study. They're wasting money on this. Here's a story by Jordan Hansen. A resolution for a study of public transportation moved forward in the House. And what do you know? What do you know, folks? This is sponsored by Democrat senators from Missoula, Andrea Olson. Why is it that the Democrat senators from Missoula are getting all of their stuff across the finish line in the legislature? Boy, this really bugs me, because just recently, and this is kind of where I was going with the property tax thing. It's like, okay, oh, we're going to cut property taxes. We're going to cut property taxes. We're going to give a homestead rate exemption. Well, the homestead rate exemption, all that does, folks, all that does is massively increase property taxes on ag and business. And so it's like, let's say I'm a business owner, and let's say I own my house. It's like, okay, well, let's say you're a rancher, farmer, and you own your own house. Okay, yeah, you maybe get, you might, you, under the original theory that I guess has failed, yeah, you might get a tax cut on your homesteaded property, but your ag land is going to get taxed higher, and your commercial land and your business land is going to get taxed higher. It's a wash. It's a trick. It's a shell game.
Why can't these people be honest with us? The only way we can get property taxes in this state is if you actually cut spending. And we don't have any spending cuts anywhere. Not at the city level, not at the county level, not at the state level. Frankly, we're barely even seeing them at the federal level after Congress passed that last year. I certainly hope that when they do this big, beautiful bill or whatever they're talking about, we actually get spending cuts at the federal level. But they're actually going to waste a bunch of our money studying improvements to public transportation. This, of course, just after I pointed out how hypocritical and disgusting it is for the city of Billings to threaten the people of Billings with cuts to police and fire if they lose $6 million in funding. The first thing they're going to do is cut police and fire when they're wasting more than that on empty buses rolling around the city of Billings, blowing smoke, wasting money, totally empty. Completely, we could hire, and I do feel bad for the people that need to use the bus. We could get you Ubers for cheaper than what it's cost. We could get everybody that rides the bus in here a freaking Uber, and it'd be cheaper than what they're talking about. But no, they're gonna spend our money studying more public transportation options because a Democrat Missoula senator got it through the legislature.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Here is a classic example of how some stories, negative stories about President Trump, are just essentially made up. So when the president on Saturday went to Pope Francis's funeral, Vatican protocol mandated that he wear a dark suit and a black button. That's just the way it's done. President wore a blue suit and a blue tie instead. All right, maybe not the best fashion choice. So all you get a few randos on X, and they say, this is disgraceful, this is despicable, this is awful. And then when you read down the story, you know, the last paragraph is, well, by the way, President Biden, one of the princes, and others also wore blue. So why didn't the headline say Biden and Trump are disrespectful? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.